Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. We are live. Today is September 29th, 2025. I'm back at home from being in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. Esther is sleeping right there. She's on the chair right now because I kicked her off of my chair in order to do some work and to do this broadcast. So I've moved her to that chair. She's in here with us as well. Hello to everybody coming in. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. Let's see. Oh, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hello. Yep, was just there. Love Tulsa. Clay Clark calls it Tulsa, Jerusalem. He has a big sign in lights, actually, in his studio that says Tulsa, Jerusalem. I see Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Idaho, Rexburg, Idaho. Welcome. I see more Pennsylvanians jumping in. Let's see. Tallahassee, Florida as well. Mansfield, Louisiana. South Carolina, Texas. God bless Texas. Very happy to have you here. Iowa as well. Michigan. We're going to be talking about Michigan a little bit tonight. Let's see. Northern New York. Welcome to our neighbors in Northern New York. I see California. Norfolk, England. Hello to our international audience that is now coming in. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. Oh, let's see who else is coming in here. Ontario, Canada. Hello to our neighbors in Canada. New Jersey's in the house. I see you as well. Minnesota, Florida. Let's see who else, because the chat's starting to look real, starting to move a little fast. Liverpool. Welcome to our friends in Liverpool across the pond in England. Colorado as well. Nebraska. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. See a lot of New Jersey's coming in as well. Oh, let's see. Mobile, Alabama, Utah as well. I see lots of Floridas coming in. Welcome, welcome to all of you. Hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. Saudi Arabia. Hello to our friends who are watching in Saudi Arabia. Very happy to have you with us tonight, as well as everybody else who is jumping in. We got a lot to talk about, and we have some pretty big announcements at the end of tonight. So stay tuned, because we have at least two very large announcements at the end of tonight. One is about the Ark, and the other is about a big event that we're going to do. And so we're going to be announcing it at the end of the night. I'm also going to be giving you an update on Grace as well at the end of the night. So we'll be doing that as well. So thank you, everyone. We're going to open up in prayer. We have a lot to get into tonight. There's a lot to talk about of things that are happening in this nation, and the church is under attack. I don't know how else to say it. We're going to talk about that as well as we're going to get into a little deeper some prophetic patterns that have been over decades, as I'm fixing my hair here, that have been over decades as far as something to do with the movie Snake Eyes. It goes way deeper than you think. I actually put out a short about this day as well, but like, this goes a little deeper than we think. And this is how the enemy sets up for prophetic patterns that he then tries to superimpose in other decades. And he tries to realign them in order to get a similar result. And we're going to talk about that as well as what happened in Michigan, this church being attacked, being burnt to the ground. We're going to talk about the Acts timeline some more, because this timeline goes back a little further. And the Lord showed me something about this. I perceive it to be the Lord, because the enemy actually tried last year to invoke this timeline. It actually kind of got disrupted. And then he literally sent it into overdrive with what happened with Charlie Kirk. So we're going to talk about that as well. So let's open up in prayer, and we're going to get into all of this tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise to your precious holy name. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, Father God, asking that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. Lord, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short in you, Father God. Lord, we praise you that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth He was the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He willingly died for our sins at Calvary. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And Lord, we just praise you. He miraculously rose again in 3 days. He took the keys from death. He defeated all death in the grave. He miraculously rose again. He ascended back to be with the Father. He is ruling and reigning victoriously at his right hand forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before the throne of Almighty God. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, into this place. Father, we welcome your presence in, Lord. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let the power of your presence mightily move tonight, Lord. Let your power go forth. Let your truth go forth, Father God. Order my words tonight, Lord. Order our steps, Father God. As we go before you, Lord, go before us, Father God. Be our front and rear guard tonight, Lord. Keep us, protect us, Father God. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team the humble privilege of being a vessel of your power, Father. Lord, according to Ephesians chapter 6, we ask you put your whole and complete armor on us this day. We command the shield of faith to go up in the name of Jesus Christ in front of us to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, that every arrow the enemy attempts to fire is reversed upon the sender now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, witchcraft, curse, spell, incantation, voodoo, sorcery, witchcraft, and dark arts, and any form of weaponized demonic activity. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke it now, and we command that all dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back, Father God, to the areas you have designated for such to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return, nor have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, and certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you, Father. You are Yahweh. You are the breath. You are holy. You are righteous. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Your word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We praise you, Lord, tonight. We bless your holy name, Father, in the name, mighty name, unmatched name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let any heaviness that the enemy attempts to bring into the atmosphere, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ right now. We command it broken off in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Broken off, lifted, and cast off in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, to not return or have anything sent in its place in Jesus' name. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, we're going to talk about a few different things tonight that are going on. So if you could share this broadcast right now, we would very much appreciate it. Like and subscribe, because there's a lot of deep things we're going to get into here about recent events that have happened in this nation, an event that happened yesterday. We're going to get more into the timeline of the Acts Church as well. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 10:9 first. You're going to understand why I'm doing this in a moment. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians 10:9, because the reversal of that is 9:10. Right, is 9:10, which is September 10th on our calendar. And that is the day that Charlie Kirk was tragically assassinated. 1 Corinthians 10:9, I just want to read to you, because we're going to read 10:9 and then 10:11, because you understand this in a minute, 9:11. But it says, we must not tempt the Lord, as some of them did, and they were killed by serpents. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now these things happened to them as an example and warning to us. They were written for our instruction, to admonish and equip us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That is 1 Corinthians 10:9 and 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now it's interesting that the word serpent is in there, that the serpent went after some of them. And I wanted to start off with this because this was in my reading this morning. I was in 1 Corinthians 10 this morning, and this came up, and I saw it, and I thought this was just interesting, that the way it talks about that some of them were harmed by serpents, and that it, verse 11, it says, now these things happened to them as an example and warning to us. They were written for our instruction, to admonish and equip us upon whom the end of the ages have come. And this is what we have to do. We have to take it as a warning. We have to take it as an equipping when we see these things happen. And we as the church have to step into that equipping. We have to be willing to go on the offensive now instead of on the defensive. Now, you have this theme of 9/11 and serpents. And I want to talk about something for a moment, because back in 1998, and we're going to go pretty deep with this, but back in 1998, there was a movie that came out. The movie was called Snake Eyes. Nicolas Cage, because that's what the enemy does, he puts you in bondage, was one of the lead actors in this movie. This movie came out 27 years ago. And several viewers pointed out this movie as well. I believe it's trending now on social media, and it is the way the enemy, because he's called the Prince of the Power of the Air, sets up a pattern decades prior and then attempts to take that pattern, and he attempts to superimpose it onto another decade in order to get a similar result. And there's a scene from this movie, and one of the movie's characters, his name is Charles Kirkland, who in the movie was fatally shot in the neck during a boxing match on September 10th. So he was watching the boxing match. He wasn't in it. But he's fatally shot on September 10th. The scene was shot at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. So this scene is shot on a Trump property in Atlantic City. The plot reveals that the boxer has the last name of Tyler, okay? And his boxing nickname is the Executioner. So you've got Charles Kirkland fatally shot in the neck on September 10th. Trump Taj Mahal, President Trump is the president right now. And the boxer's last name in this movie is Tyler, and his nickname is the Executioner. Now, we're going to take this even deeper. If that's not interesting and eerie enough, we're going to take this even deeper. The movie is called Snake Eyes, Orem, Utah. Orem means serpent, where what tragically happened, okay? Snakes put their eyes on their prey first, snake eyes. They put their eyes on their prey, and then they begin to try to slither in undetected until they get close enough to their prey to strike. 2025 happens to be the year of the snake on the Chinese calendar, which they entered in January, in late January. This movie came out 27 years ago. 2027 happens to equal, when you add it up, 11. 2025 equals 9. It's a two-year window between 2025 and 2027. That equals 9/11. 2027, you happen to have the longest eclipse happening in centuries. That will last over 6 minutes. And 2027 happens to be a Jewish leap year, as well as the year before our next election. Now, let's go back to this movie for a minute. Let's go back to this movie, because this goes way deeper than this. So we have Charles Kirkland. We have a character called Tyler, who's nicknamed the Executioner. It's happening at a Trump property, right? There is an assassination. Something happens in this movie. There's a storm in this movie. And actually, Pastor Rick said, Amanda, you need to go look at this. So I did today. In the movie Snake Eyes, a storm happens, a hurricane. The name of the hurricane in this movie is Jezebel. You can't make this up. The name of the hurricane in the movie is Jezebel. Now, how does that line up also? Well, there is a website that does a publication, and it's called Jezebel. There's a website called Jezebel who allegedly hired witches to attempt to curse Charlie Kirk before this happened. And in this movie, there is a storm that comes. While this is all taking place, these other events in this assassination, and the storm's name is Jezebel. And it aligns with what we saw happen, where this publication called Jezebel online attempted to hire witches to curse Charlie Kirk. Now, there was also a discrepancy in the movie where the character of Charles Kirkland, they said that he had passed away right there on the site of what happened, and then they come back and say, no, it was at the hospital. So there's a discrepancy in the movie as well. Also in the movie, Gary Sinise is in this movie. He plays the head of the security detail for Charles Kirkland, who happens to be the defense secretary at the time. Well, it's interesting because the defense secretary right now is Pete Hegseth. Remember Axe timeline. Just keep that in mind. So back to this. The head of the security detail is played by Gary Sinise. It's the head of the security detail who was in on the whole assassination and helped orchestrate the whole thing, set up the shooter, set up the assassination, and there's Sadie coming in the movie. So it was the head of the security detail. If it's not bad enough, you got a storm called Jezebel and you've got all these other similarities. You've got the head of Charles Kirkland's security detail that was in on the entire assassination. Also, the boxer, whose last name is Tyler, his full name is Lincoln Tyler. Lincoln was assassinated in a theater, which is interesting that that is the name that they chose. And his nickname is called the Executioner. Now, it gets even more interesting. The actual shooter, because it was all a setup, so the actual shooter that pulls the trigger in the movie, the name is Rabat, I think. It's something like that. It's Rabat. The shooter's Palestinian in the movie. The shooter is actually Palestinian in the movie. And Charles Kirkland in the movie is assassinated because he was sending weapons to Israel and was actually helping Israel. And so Palestine, this Palestinian shooter, was in on it with the security detail and others in order to go after Charles Kirkland. Now, tell me that that is all a coincidence, because it's not. Because this is how the enemy sets up a precedent. This is how he uses the powers of the air and Hollywood and television and what he has available to him in this modern day technological age. And he sets up a precedent. I'll give you another example. That horrific movie, Silence of the Lambs, that's about taking away the voice of those that follow Jesus Christ. That's what that title is about, Silence of the Lambs. That's another title where the enemy tries to set a pattern, where he tries to get an opening, and then he attempts to take that same, how do we put it, that same precedent that he set, that same cycle, and he attempts to take it, and then he attempts to put it into another decade in order to reuse it, because he thrives in cycles, in order to try to get a different result. Because this is not an accident that all of these things are happening the way it's happening. And I'm going to give you all the facts down the list again. Movie Snake Eyes, 1998. Charles Kirkland is the main character. He is assassinated in the neck on September 10th during a boxing match at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. The boxer in it is, his last name is Tyler, and he's called the Executioner. There is a hurricane that happens in the movie called Jezebel. And on top of all of that, in the movie, at least, the security detail was in on the entire plot. So I'm showing you this for a reason. Because in the day and age we live in, the church has got to wake up and begin to recognize this. Because if we can get ahead of a cycle, if we can get ahead of a timeline, if we could recognize a pattern, we can then, in the name of Jesus Christ, command that to be dismantled and destroyed and intercede and pray and actually break it. And it's about time we recognize that the kingdom of darkness uses these tools, uses these outlets, uses this technology, uses the powers of the air in order to create patterns that they then will go back to and attempt to reinvoke the same pattern, just like they do in generations in families. It's the same thing. And so the fact it's called Snake Eyes, even, and this happened in Orem, Utah, and Orem is means serpent, is no mistake either. So There, these patterns we have to pay attention to as the church, and we have to understand, because if the enemy is using it and we don't understand how he's using it, that's how a snake moves about undetected. Once you catch a snake in action, you are able then to quickly destroy the head of that serpent. So keep that, just keep this all in mind, that what was just said here, as we watch all of this unfold. Keep this all in mind. Now, secondly, when it comes to this, and we're gonna talk about prophecy fulfilling with this too, because there's prophecy fulfilling with some of this, and it's all connected, and you're gonna see how it's all connected. But Charlie Kirk's and George Floyd have the same birthday, October 14th. Charlie Kirk was born October 14th, 1993. George Floyd was born October 14th, 1973. Exactly 20 years separate the two of them, which happens to be the year 2020, our election was hijacked, and also the year that the George Floyd incident occurred. Now, there's a reason I'm telling you this, because there's prophecy on this. And I want to read to you this prophecy that, and I'm going to tell you this too. The enemy uses the powers of the air, the powers of the airwaves all the times to attempt to put out and establish pattern and precedent in order to go back and use it. Okay. We're going to go to some words from the Lord going back to 2024. And this has to do with what I'm talking, because there's a reason Charlie Kirk and George Floyd have the same birthday. There's a reason this is going on. Okay. August 29th, 2024. They shall try to refabricate George Floyd to bring a new narrative of race meant to cause toxic opposition while their tainted lips speak unity. A custom manufactured event, it shall turn around and smear those running, and they shall run when their corrupt creation turns on them, that the media, too network, shall turn on them to avoid the smear and stain it shall leave. That was part of a word from the Lord from August 29th, 2024. Word from the Lord, October 24th, 2024. October 24th, 24. 24 plus 24 happens to be 48, which is our next election. Okay, so there's reasons why the Lord has me give it on certain dates. Thus says the Lord, Minnesota will begin to turn on its own, says the Lord, for the spirit of provocation has gone forth to resurrect the anger of George Floyd. The anger and defiance and the violence that went into the soil of that state. The enemy in this hour is attempting to stir a spiritual cauldron that was set there with the help of the governor and those in the dark arts. Okay, so the Lord specifically mentions those in the dark arts for stirring up the violence, for stirring up the provocation. He specifically names them. Pray, my children, that this is thwarted, that the plan is exposed, and that cauldron is destroyed. March 18th, 2025, 9/11 happens to be within this date. And on March 18th, 2025, this is what was said. They are going to look to bring about another George Floyd situation. Pray and intercede and keep your eyes on Jesus. Pray Psalm 91, come under his wings and take refuge during this intense time. Well, Charlie Kirk and George Floyd just happen to have the same birthday. They're going to look to bring about another George Floyd. Well, to bring about another George Floyd, they would have to find something that happens to align with George Floyd. And these two have the same birthday. And Charlie Kirk was calling out the nonsense that was going on with the race baiting. He was calling this out. He was calling this nonsense that went on. So he was calling it out. And so this is why we're watching these things suddenly start to align, because there's reason for it. There's prophetic reason for it. Now, we're going to, from this, setting all of this up, we're going to go to now what happened yesterday, because all of these things happening in short proximity is not an accident, okay? And so I want to go to the U.S. You're going to see where I'm going in a minute with this, but I want to go to the U.S. Today, USA Today article. Russell M. Nelson, president of Church of Latter-day Saints, dies at 101. The oldest ever leader of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints died at his Salt Lake City home on Saturday before joining the church. Okay, before joining the church, Russell M. Nelson was a notable heart surgeon. Okay, this happens September 27th, 2025, the head of the Church of the Latter-day Saints dies. The very next day, the Church of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc, Michigan, is not only shot up, but burned to the ground. The day after, this man dies. Now, I want to go to the CNN article, and we'll bring it to prophecy in a minute. I'm just setting it up. September 28th, 2025, Michigan church attack. At least four people were killed and eight others were wounded. Four killed, eight wounded. That equals 48, which is our next election. These things are not accident when they're set up this way. Four killed, eight wounded today in a shooting at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc Township in Michigan, police said. Authorities say a gunman rammed a vehicle through the front of the church during a large service, began shooting, and then intentionally set a fire that grew into a large blaze. Okay, now, the head of the Church of Latter-day Saints dies the 27th. This attack on the Church of Latter-day Saints happens on the 28th of September. Now, I'm going to tell you what's so strange about this attack. This attack happens on the happens 9/28, right? 2 plus 8 is 10. 9/10. What happened on 9/10 in our nation? That's when the shot heard around the world happened in Orem, Utah. And now on 9/28, this happens. And it happens the day after the head of the Latter-day Saints dies. I don't think that's a coincidence. And the date of what happened in Michigan happens to equal the date of what happened in Orem, Utah. Now, this happens in Michigan, where the Muslims and the Mormons have mixed. Okay, so this happens in Michigan, where there is one of the largest Muslim populations in the nations, and the Mormons are there. Okay, which is interesting because they're an offshoot in a way of the same root. Okay, now, since the kingdom of darkness has to power itself, by altars and by the shedding of blood and by patterns and cycles to advance agendas to high seats in the nation. This is why the church has to wake up now and go on the offensive, because the church has gone under attack. And we've got two options here. We either are constantly on the defensive, or we actually decide to go on the offensive, decide to really ask the Lord for eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, see what the enemy is doing, be able to get ahead of the timeline, get ahead of the cycle, be able to intercede in the name of Jesus Christ and break it and dismantle it and destroy it. Because the church in this moment of time has gone under attack. And the church has to wake up and begin to understand the modern warfare of the kingdom of darkness. Because if the church wakes up in this hour and gets it and begins to really understand their enemy and the modern warfare of the kingdom of darkness, that's when you see things turn. Not when you sit on your laurels and you let them exploit patterns and times and seasons that they understand, but the church doesn't. Now, we have a clip for you. From August 25th, 2025, having to do with the Mormon Church, because what happened, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a branch of the Mormon Church. And so you have the leader that dies, and the next day, this church is attacked in Michigan. So August 25th, 2025, we're going to play this clip for you now of this word. Watch the Mormon Church, says the Lord. Enormous scandal that pales in comparison to the checkered past, to their checkered past, is set to come out, says the Lord. The Mormons have joined with the Muslims, says the Lord. Their root has intertwined, and this shall be exposed, says the Lord. Collapse is coming, says the Lord. For this is a time, says the Lord, that a great changing of the guard, the old wineskins are passing away, are being removed. There is a time shift within the earth, and ranks are changing, says the Lord. For there has to be such an adjustment, for the old ranks were not equipped for this new operation that my children are being repositioned to battle, says the Lord. There's a changing of the guard. The old wineskins are passing away. And the Mormon church is mentioned in this same word. And the Mormons have joined with the Muslims, said the Lord. The root is intertwined. Well, one of those areas that's happened is Michigan, where they're both have quite a presence there. And so this is the beginning of this. So this word, what we're watching is the beginning of this word coming to its fullness. Now, what we're watching happen at this moment in time in this nation is this is following the persecution of the timeline of the book of Acts. And I did an urgent word. You could go back and watch it. The urgent word about the Acts timeline, where I go into Stephen. We're going to go into Stephen a little bit more, James, and then Peter. But we're going to go a little back on the timeline, okay? Now, President Trump came out with a statement. He called what happened in Michigan horrendous. He said it was yet another targeted attack on Christians in the United States of America. And so they are staging this as an Iraqi war veteran who apparently did this. And I'm saying the word staging, but they're staging this as that. And so this is all unfolding in the past 24 hours. But I want to take you back earlier in 2024, because the enemy tried to invoke this timeline in 2024, but it got disrupted. So what he did is he then went and attempted to pick it up at the death of Stephen. And I'm going to show you what he did. I'm going to show you back in 2024 how this timeline attempted to be invoked and why it matters now. Because like I said, if we can understand the timelines, if we can understand the patterns the enemy is working in, if we have knowledge and insight into that, we can target with the precision of a surgeon, with the precision of an arrow, prayer to dismantle and disrupt the cycles and timelines that the enemy wants to put in place. So we're going to go back into 2024 for a minute in order to talk about this. So we're going to read Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and you'll understand why I'm going here in a moment. But this is where we're going. And while Peter and John were talking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them. So Peter and John, being extremely disturbed and thoroughly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming the case of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day because it was evening. But many of those who heard the message of salvation believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Verse 5, on the next day, their magistrates and elders and scribes, which is the Sanhedrin Jewish High Court, were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all others who were of high priestly descent. When they had put the men in front of them, they repeatedly asked, by what sort of power or in what name did you do this healing? Then Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being put on trial today for a good deed done to benefit a disabled man as to how this man has been restored to health, let it be known and clearly understood by all of you and by all the people of Israel that in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you demanded be crucified, whom God raised from the dead, in this name, this man stands here before you in good health. This Jesus is the stone which was despised and rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among people by which we must be saved. Verse 13, now when the men of the Sanhedrin saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John and grasped the fact that they were uneducated and untrained ordinary men, they were astounded and began to recognize what they had, that they had indeed been with Jesus. Now, this particular chapter, Acts chapter 4, has 25 verses, right? Which we're in the year 2025 right now. Now, Acts 4, verse 3. Now I'm going to show you how the enemy did this. Acts 4, verse 3 says, so they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day because it was evening. Now, last year, it was actually, I believe, in 2023. Let me double check this because I want to give you the right year. So I have this. Hold on. Okay, it was in 2023. So we're going to start in 2023. We're going to work up to 2025. So Acts 4:3 says, so they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day because it was evening. April 3rd, which is 4/3/2023. April 3rd, 4/3, just like Acts 4:3. 2023, a press release shows up on the official Manhattan Assistant District Attorney website, who happened to be Alvin Bragg. So on 4/3, a post shows up and it says, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin L. Bragg Jr. today announced the indictment of Donald J. Trump, 76. For falsifying New York business records in order to conceal damaging information on unlawful activity for American voters before and after the 2016 election. During the election, Trump and others employed a catch and kill scheme to identify, purchase, and bury negative information about him and boost his electoral prospects. Okay. Trump then went to great lengths to hide this conduct, causing dozens of false entries in business records to conceal criminal activity, including attempts to violate state and federal election laws. This post shows up on the Assistant District Attorney's website on April 3rd, on 4/3. What does Acts 4/3 say? So they arrested them and put them in jail on the next day, until the next day, because it was evening. I will tell you also, they purposely indicted him at the age of 76 because of the symbolism of 1776 having to do with the independence of our nation. Because the enemy, when he does something, he is symbolic, he is strategic, and he is crafty. Now, So that shows up April 3rd, 4/3, 2023 on the assistant district attorney's website. Now, go to 2024. This is how timelines get invoked. 2024. So we're talking about John and Peter, right? Were arrested. Donald Trump's middle name happens to be John. So you have Donald John Trump, right? And then in 2024, Peter Navarro is put in prison for 4 months. Okay? And Donald John Trump is on trial. So Peter and Donald in 2023, okay, are indicted, right? And then Peter goes to prison in 2024, and Donald John Trump is on trial. Now, if you go back in Acts chapter 4, while Peter and John were talking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, and being extremely disturbed and thoroughly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming the case of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead, so they arrested them. Acts 4:3. So they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day. Who did they arrest? Peter and John. Who was arrested and indicted from 2023 to 2024? Peter and John. Now, we're going to go deeper. Acts 4, verses 23 through 24 says both John and Peter were then released from prison. By the end of 2024, both Peter Navarro and Donald John Trump were released from imprisonment. So this is Acts 4, 23 through 24 is where both John and Peter are released. And by the end of 2024, they are both released, okay? Also, it's Acts 23 through 24. 2023 is when Trump is indicted. 2024 is when Peter is in prison and Donald John Trump is on trial. So, and then we see they're released by the end of 2024. This is all in Acts 4. So, this timeline, the enemy attempted to invoke last year, and it got disrupted. It got disrupted because the church rose up. It got disrupted because we interceded and prayed. It got disrupted and was put on hold because of the intercession of the people of God. Okay? Now, let's go to Acts 7. So this is in Acts 4. Acts 7 is where we see Stephen. Acts 4 is John and Peter. Acts 7 is Stephen. 4:7. 47 happens to be the presidency we are in. The death of Stephen happens in Acts 7, verses 54 through 55. Now, when they heard this accusation and understood its implication, they were cut to the heart and they began grinding their teeth in rage at him, in rage at Stephen, because what he was saying was so truthful. It was so convicting. They couldn't take it. Verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit and led by him, gazed into heaven and saw the glory, the great splendor and majesty of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, this is Acts. Now, I'm going to show you something here, because this is where the heavens open. Stephen sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and Stephen dies, okay? He's stoned, but the Lord puts him into his sleep, and he dies. This is Acts 7, 54 through 55. What I had said in that urgent Acts timeline broadcast, which you could go back and watch, is that the death of Charlie Kirk triggered this timeline. And he's on this timeline, Charlie Kirk is Stephen. So the death of Stephen in Acts thrust the church into a time of persecution. And then next comes James, who is killed by the sword by Herod. And then Peter, who is imprisoned, but the church intercedes for Peter and Peter is let go. So Acts 7, verses 54 through 55 is where Stephen, right? Judgment is passed on Stephen and Stephen dies. I'm going to show you something crazy about this verse. 54 and 55. Okay, they heard this accusation, they were cut to the heart, and they began grinding their teeth in rage at him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit and led by him, gazed into the heaven and saw the glory, great splendor of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 54, 55. 5 plus 4 is 9. 5 plus 5 is 10. 9, 10. What happened on 9/10? What happened on September 10th? The tragedy with Charlie Kirk. These verses in Acts that align with the death of Stephen, when you add them together, create the date that Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And yes, his middle name is James, and I'm going to show you something interesting about that in a minute. But these two scriptures, 54 and 55, because this is where they make the decision to kill him. This is where they make the decision to judge Stephen and do this to him. Those two scriptures, 54 through 55, equals 9/10, which equals the date, September 10th, 9/10, that this happened in Orem, Utah. Now, when you look at this timeline, either forwards or backwards, it interestingly enough aligns the same. And I'm going to show you how just quickly. So when you look at this timeline, if we look at it backwards, you have Peter is imprisoned, right? James is put to death. And then Stephen is put to death. If you look at it forward or backwards, you get the same. So forward, it's Stephen, then James, then Peter. Backwards, it's Peter, then James, then Stephen. If you look at it, the timeline backwards, Peter Navarro was imprisoned. Charlie James Kirk was assassinated. And then you get to Stephen. If you look at it forwards, you have Stephen, who was killed in a hostile environment, and then you have James, and then you have Peter. Well, J.D. Vance's first name just happens to be James, and then you have Peter Hegseth, who's head of the Department of War. So either way you look at this timeline, the enemy is attempting to work it. Either way you look at it, the enemy is attempting to work this. Now, what do we need to do? Because we're talking about all this from the beginning, from talking, going through the whole thing with Snake Eyes to George Floyd, to the church needs to wake up and realize that the enemy is invoking very dark arts, very dark tactics that align dates and times and patterns of past events. Dates, times, patterns of past events. He is invoking this and he is superimposing this and he is trying to reactivate them in different decades, in different times, in different areas. We, as the church, have to understand that the power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us, and it's not for it just to sit there and go, oh, please, God, help us. God said, behold, I have given unto you the power. I've given it to you. I've taken it and I've given it to you to trample upon serpents and scorpions and against all the power of the enemy, so nothing shall by any means hurt you. Behold, I have taken that power that is from him, from his throne, and I've given it to you to trample, which means to destroy, serpents. Oh, that's the name that means Orem. That has to do with that movie Snake Eyes. And scorpions, that sting. Scorpions sting. Serpents constrict, scorpions sting. And against all the power of the enemy, not some of the power, all of the power. So nothing shall by any means hurt you. But what he's saying is, I've given you the power to trample. It won't hurt you if you take the power I've given you and you start doing the trampling on the serpents and scorpions, because I've given it to you. And if you're not going to use it, the enemy's going to exploit the fact that you're not going to use it, and he's going to attack. Behold, I have given unto you the power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and against all the power of the enemy, so nothing shall by any means hurt you. What does that involve? That involves starting to pray with intent, with heart, with the precision of a surgeon, with the precision of an arrow, and dismantle the strongholds of the enemy. Dismantle the works of darkness and iniquity. Dismantle the arrows that are fired. Dismantle the weapons and the assignments the enemy sends. That's what it means. And the church is in a time where we either have to rise up and do this, or it's going to fall. We have to rise up and actually do what the scripture says. Because we can't trample if we're sitting in a corner complacent. We can't trample if the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit isn't welcomed into the church to transform it. We can't trample if we're too busy constantly being distracted and fear-filled by what the enemy is doing, instead of taking the power God has given us and actually using it to its full force and its full effect. Donald Trump said something that is very prophetic for this time, and this is coming to me live now that this is being dropped into my spirit. When he said he's sending troops into Oregon, I guess he's sending the National Guard into Portland, to deal with the attacks going on in immigration facilities. He said, I have authorized the use of full force. That is where the church needs to be. He's saying something prophetic, and he doesn't even realize what he's saying, because this is the time of the authorization of full force for the church. The church is authorized to use full force in this time to dismantle the works of darkness and the iniquity, because what goes on in the natural goes on in the spirit. So if President Trump is authorizing this in the natural, it's going to be authorized in the spirit. And you don't want the enemy authorized to use full force, because that's what he tried to do with what he just did with this nation. He tried to get authorization to use full force against this nation. And instead, we have to go before God's high court, strip him of that authorization before the court of God. And we need to be authorized and equipped as the church to use full force in this time, because the time requires it. The time requires it. The kingdom of darkness and their disciples are constantly on the move. They are constantly firing. We cannot put down our weapons and expect to not get hit. And the time has come that the church wakes up and realizes that the dark arts are operational, that there is sorcery, that there is witchcraft. It doesn't nearly have the power that Jesus Christ has, or that name Jesus Christ has. Doesn't nearly have the power, but there's power there. And it's utilized, and it is targeted, and it is strategic, and it is real, and it can do damage. And it's about time the church stop brushing it off and start realizing that we have been given the power through Christ to dismantle and destroy it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command every hex, vex, spell, incantation, potion, voodoo, sorcery, witchcraft, dark arts, curses, spells, incantations, and any other form of weaponized demonic activity, by the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the holy fire of God, be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, canceled, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And every curse reversed upon the head of the sender sevenfold, that they would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the kind of force that the enemy doesn't want the church to operate in because he banks on the church being lazy. He banks on people in a church speaking superficial prayer with no depth or substance, having no power of Almighty God moving in that church because they're easy prey. They're easy prey. A church is a place with an altar where the enemy can take easy prey when it is not operating in the full power of Almighty God. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. When did this happen at this church yesterday? It happened 9:28. 2 + 8 = 10. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, the Lord your God, come to give you life and life more abundant. So the answer to stealing, killing, and destroying is speaking life and life more abundant over this nation. Speaking life and life more abundant over our leaders. Speaking life and life more abundant over our family. Speaking life and life more abundant over our pastors. David had to kill a lion and a bear while in training as a shepherd to become king one day of Israel. Think about this. His training as a shepherd was to kill a lion and a bear when they came for his flock. If the shepherds of today do not think they're going to have to face and dismantle some lions and some bears to protect their flock, they need to get out of shepherding. They need to get out of pastoring and find something else to do. Because if God allowed David to go through it and he allowed him to have to face the lion and the bear to train him up in order to lead Israel and to engage the Philistines, how could the pastors of today think that the lion and the bear are not going to come for their church? God allowed him to come for David, but he equipped David. He trained David in that field. He trained him with those sheep. He made him ruddy. He made him fearless. He trained him up to be a warrior that way. Too many pastors have the heart of a coward and not the heart of a warrior and not a heart of a soldier in the army of the living God. And they are leaving their sheep sitting ducks by not using wisdom, by not using the brain that God gave them, and by literally letting perversion in of doctrine and kicking out the Holy Spirit. And we wondering why Satan is exploiting it in this time. We wonder why he's trying to invoke patterns. We wonder why he's doing this. You know why too? Because the church is too busy constantly fighting with itself. And Satan saw that. He saw that opening. He saw what was going on. He saw the war from within. He watched it. He studied it. And then he took his shot. Because the watchmen were supposed to be looking for what was coming in the distance. And instead, they were looking down on the wall and yelling at the others. Not that we shouldn't call things out, but the enemy, if the church is in strife, if a party is in strife, the enemy is going to exploit it. The enemy is exploiting it with the conservative party right now because they did the same thing the church did. They went into complete strife. They went into complete war within. They went into complete fighting with each other, and they could not see how the enemy was moving. This is why you need the watchman on the wall, and the church has to get up on the wall now and be the watchman and actually understand the strategies, schemes, devices, wiles of the devil. Paul himself says we cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And what the church did is they turned a blind eye on the enemy, they turned a blind eye on his devices, and they kept looking at prosperity and everything else, while not learning about this at the same time. And this is why they think it's funny to post that witches tried to curse because they saw a hole and they exploited it. And the church is supposed to be there to dismantle and destroy that in the name of Jesus Christ and reverse it upon the head of the sender. Because we are meant to engage on that kind of level in this season. You should be doing it for your families. You should be doing it for your businesses. You should be doing it for your pastors. You should be doing it for your ministries. Engaging on that level. Why are you going to leave so many unlocked doors for the enemy to come through? Let me ask you a question. Do you leave your doors unlocked at night? When nighttime comes, when you're not in the house, do you leave your doors unlocked? Do you? Because I don't think there's a person in this chat that's going to say, oh yeah, I leave my doors unlocked. And I just take the chance at night that I'm going to be safe. No, what do? You go around your house, you lock your doors, you check your doors, you make sure everything's locked. Why? Because you don't want an intruder coming in. And a locked door is much harder to get through than a door that is unlocked, that is left opened and unattended. So if you are so diligent about locking your house doors or the doors of your apartment or the doors of your business, how many locking down spiritual doors that may be left open in your lives, in your church, in your businesses, in this nation? My gosh, they got the White House under tons of Secret Service. They got the president's sons. Tons of Secret Service coverage. Why? Because they're on alert for an intruder. They're on alert for a predator. They're doing all this in the natural and they're forgetting about the spiritual. We should be doing this in the spiritual. We should be locking down doors left and right in the spiritual, shutting them, locking them, blocking them, sealing them with the blood of Jesus for Christ, cutting off every avenue, doorway, avenue, pathway, portal, or person that would attempt to bring an assignment of the kingdom of darkness in. Because if we're doing it in the natural, we can't leave all the spiritual doors unlocked and expect the enemy isn't going to go one by one by one and exploit them, because that is what he's trying to do. He's trying to invoke these timelines. He's trying to invoke the powers of the air that he released decades ago, and he's trying to superimpose them now because, you know why? Because it's the year of the snake. That's how he's aligning it, because it's the year of the snake. So then he starts to take things from decades ago and he begins to align them to take prey like a serpent. This is what he does. And so the church has to get on that level and understand this and begin engaging in that way. You should be commanding be broken, canceled, aborted, and destroyed and dismantled, disabled, and rendered powerless and nullified in the name of Jesus Christ. Every curse, spell, witchcraft that would attempt to be deployed against you, your family, your pets, what God has given you, your homes, your land, your finances, and commanded, destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ, and reversed upon the heads of the sender sevenfold, that they would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is what you should be doing. Because if you give the enemy a door, he's going to take it. And if you think the kingdom of darkness and its disciples are going to put down their weapons and go, gee, we're not going to attack Christians anymore. Gee, we're not going to attack lukewarm churches anymore. Gee, we're not going to go after this anymore. Gee, we're not going to, we are kidding ourselves, because they're relentless. Once you're a child of Almighty God, you're automatically at war with the kingdom of darkness. There is no getting out of that. So you might as well learn how to take up your weapons, take up spiritual arms, use the power of the tongue that God, Almighty God, has given you, and dismantle these things and make it hard and frustrating for the enemy to successfully get at you. If you are giving him the prime openings, he's going to exploit them. That's why we see what's happening in this nation. He's seeing prime openings. He's aligning timelines. He's aligning seasons. And he's exploiting it. And he's taking it. And he's laughing, because a good part of the church doesn't want to engage. A good part of the church just wants to be in the four walls there, and they don't want to engage, and they don't want to learn spiritual warfare, and they don't want to understand the tactics of the enemy, and they don't want to go deeper with the Lord, and they want to stay superficial while the enemy has dug down deep. And you know what happens when you stay superficial and the enemy digs down deep? He can tunnel right under you. He can tunnel right under you and come up and attack from a way you didn't see coming. This is why it's time the people of God learn how to pray and they start locking their doors spiritually. If you lock them at night in your home, you should be locking them spiritually. You should be in the discipline every day of doing that. Every day. Because in the atmosphere we're in the temperature we're in this nation, in the environment we're in, it is a necessity. The church is either going to be thrust into this, and it's going to succeed, and it's going to persevere, and it's going to walk in the power, authority, victory that Almighty God has given unto us to walk in, or the church is going to fall. And so will 2028. Because remember, next on the timeline is James. If we're looking at it from Stephen to James, and the church has to intercede for James because in scripture they only interceded for Peter, and Peter survived and James didn't, the church has to intercede for James. We have to intercede for J.D. Vance. We have to. This depends on the church and the church taking up the spiritual arms and recognizing and acting upon with the fire of Almighty God and going on the offensive on this and dismantling it so the enemy can't invoke again. Because that's what he's going to do until he gets himself all the way to the presidency. Because he's after the heirs. He's after all the heirs. All of them. And we have to realize that in this time, that he's after all the heirs. And this is why we see these things happening. We see these patterns coming back up. We see things from decades ago aligning now. This is why. This is why the church is under attack. It doesn't have to be. We have been given the power and authority to dismantle that in the name of Jesus Christ. But we better wake up and start acting upon it. Because the enemy is diligent. Demons are diligent. How much more should we be in the kingdom of God? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, speaking of this, because this ties right in, we have three big announcements, but because I'm talking about prayer too. So one of them has to do with this. This Friday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live, Eric Trump will be on Ark of Grace. He is coming on. So mark your calendars for this Friday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live. He will be on. Clay will be on with him. We're going to be talking about many things with Eric. So mark your calendars for that. But October 17th, this is very prophetic. I'm going to talk about why on the night of prayer. This is so prophetic how the Lord had me pick this date. Friday, October 17th, 2025, night of prayer for the nation, the Trump administration, and the Kirk family. So it's Friday, October 17th. We have speakers confirming. So we're starting to get an incredible lineup here. We are going to be starting at about 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is going to be night of prayer, a prayer. We're going to go for hours praying. There's going to be a lot of guests coming on who want to pray as well. And so we have speakers confirming. And as they're confirming, we will be announcing them to you leading all the way up to October 17th. But October 17th, night of prayer for the nation, the administration, and the Trump family. This is how we go to war. This is how we do it. We come together. We don't forsake the gathering. We come together. We come in agreement. And we use the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down and destruction of strongholds. And while all this is happening in America, you've got the rest of the world trying to cast lots for Israel and divide up that land. That's not a mistake that that's going on at the same time. Now, one of the last updates. I'll give you an update on Grace 2, but we have a huge announcement as well. I have been waiting weeks in order to announce this because we wanted to make sure that we were in contract before I announced it. But the Ark is moving. Ark of Grace and all the animals. We are undertaking an incredible assignment from the Lord. A piece of property 15 minutes from where we live now opened up that it was so prophetic and incredible how it happened. And the Lord had warned me 2 months prior he was going to be moving us. And this property opened up and we went and saw the property and we put an offer in for not only that property, but the property across the street by the same owner, so we could move the entire Ark to one location. And so the Ark is moving over the next probably 4 months or so. We are in contract. We are going to go to closing in about a month and a half or so. And so it's my husband. I never thought I'd see him excited to move. He is thrilled and he is excited. Our team is excited. We are making a plan to move all the animals. And so it is incredible that the Lord has been gracious to open this up to us. But we are actually moving and it's going to be amazing because we're not only going to put the whole Ark on one property, that's the goal, but we are going to be able to have people come to that property and actually see the sanctuary. We're going to have it set up not only for that, but we're going to do our galas and events on the property so you could come there, see all the animals and interact with them. We're very excited about this. So if you at all want to help, you want to help with building animal pens, we have to build all the pens from scratch on this property. Beautiful farmland, all cleared, ready to go, has a pond, has everything we need, but we need to build the pens for the animals. So if you want to assist with that or with a barn or anything when it comes to building, you could go to arkofgrace.org/events. And there we have our address. We have phone numbers for you to call. We also have as well other information if you would like to help with that, where it can direct you to that site. And so you can go to arkofgrace.org/events. This is a big undertaking in faith that we are doing. So basically, we will be leaving this home. We will be moving into this new property, and we will be able to have our events on that property and people come and actually interact with all the animals and meet our team, see our team in action with the animals. The Lord has opened the door for this. We're only moving 15 minutes up the road, so the Lord isn't moving the Ark that far. Praise God, because we got a lot of animals to move, but we are moving. So it's a very exciting time. My husband is very excited. He was very against moving until this property opened up because I said, Lord, he's going to have to fall in love with the property to move. And the second this happened, because it's literally minutes from his father and his sister. So my husband literally is going to be minutes from his family, which is so much better for him. And so basically we are taking the leap of faith and we're moving. Yep, we're moving we're about 15 minutes, I'd say, west of here. And so it's very exciting, but we have to build everything from scratch. So we have to build all the animal pens. We can take the small sheds with us. We can take those. We have to rebuild all the fencing. We have to build a large barn to move all the horses. And we have to build for the ducks and the chickens and things of that nature, some dwellings as well. So all glory be to God. I didn't think this would happen so soon, but I kind of felt like Abraham in Haran here. Like the Lord moved us to Haran for a few years. And now he's like, now it's time to go to where I want you to go. And so this is how this has come about. And so I'll give you an update on Grace too, because she is part of this, because she is part of the Ark. So we have a picture of Grace the horse right now for you. Here's Grace in her belly band after her second surgery. So she had to have emergency surgery again. They cleared her out again. She is in a belly band. She is coming off her IV today. I spoke to the doctor. The doctor said she finally had a bowel movement. She's eating well. She is alert. They're bringing her to have 10 minutes of grass and a light walking time three times a day. She is going to have to go to a medical barn for 60 days. So that is going to be another expense, but she has to go to a medical barn for rehab for 60 days. So we are making plans to send her to one of the best medical barns in the area, and Grace will be going there for 60 days. Thank you, everyone who have prayed with us, stood with us, who have blessed us to help with Grace. Two surgeries for a horse is no small feat. And we just praise the Lord that he brought Grace through it, that she is recovering. This is a very delicate time right now. The 7-day mark after a surgery with a horse is a critical time. So please continue to intercede and pray that it goes smooth, that there are no more blockages, there are no more hiccups, and that she just continues to accelerate and heal from here. So we're just praising the Lord that Grace is better and she's okay. And she is doing far better than she was about a week ago. So we give God all the glory for that. So between Grace and moving and the night of prayer, we've got quite a month and a half or so, ahead of us. So mark your calendars again, October 17th, 2025, night of prayer for the nation, the administration, Trump administration, and the Kirk family. We are doing that. And then, you can go to arcofgrace.org/events if you need more information when it comes to helping with building pens or when it comes to helping with Grace or anything else of that nature. We put it all in one place there for you. So we're very, very excited about that. Praise the Lord. And Eric Trump's coming on Friday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live. So that's another amazing thing that is happening right now. Also, we're going to put up two real quick. We have MyPillow. Here's Duchess on her MyPillow dog bed. It is Duchess approved. You can use promo code ARC to save quite a bit on all MyPillow products. They are so much more than just pillows. They have dog beds. They have sheets. They have robes. They have pajamas. I believe they even have coffee now. You could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. You can click on the MyPillow link and you can use promo code ARC today. We also have the two brothers from Grid Down Chow Down. This is grass-fed, grass-finished, freeze-dried beef. It's got one ingredient in it, and that's grass-fed, grass-finished, freeze-dried beef. It lasts over 10 years, I believe, 10 to 15 years. There is a salvation track in every bag. So they preach the salvation message with every bag they sell, which is incredible. It's made in the USA. You can use this for your pets as well. So if you want to give your dog something really healthy and raw as a treat or sprinkled on their food, this is the way to go as well. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, click on Grid Down Chow Down, and use promo code ARC. Praise the Lord. So, exciting night tonight. I know, it's a big move. The ARC is on the move, that's all I can say. And so we're hoping to film it too. So we're hoping to film the entire move to share with all of you, because it's going to be a big one. We have here alone 30 animals to move. So at this property alone, we have 30 animals to move. And so it is an undertaking, but it's an undertaking that the Lord is with us on. Praise God. And we are going to, go on this journey with the Lord. So all glory be to God. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. God bless you. Keep the faith, armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, we have other Psalms there for you as well, including Psalm 51, which is create in me a clean heart, O God. I say that a lot. We should always be checking our heart condition and our heart posture. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, I incorporate that daily into my prayer life. I suggest you do the same. We have Ephesians 1 and 3, those scriptures from those chapters. They're also in the Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin. I speak those every day as well. And Hebrews 11 is an incredible chapter on faith, as well as Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint or grow tired. That scripture I love as well. And so I just want to encourage you in the word as we leave tonight. We will be back on Friday. If something else happens, we'll probably come back on sooner than that live, but we will be live Friday with Eric Trump. We will be putting out shorts as well. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. God bless you. Esther says good night. Keep the faith. Hey, everybody. Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount.